We're now joined by Austin Cindric, winner of tonight's second duel here at Daytona. Austin, congratulations. Can you kind of take us through those emotions on that final lap there?
Yeah, the outside lane definitely deteriorated a little bit, which kind of made Joey and I pretty vulnerable. Joey's committed to helping me there, and he and I ran really well together all race. I don't think there was a point in the race he wasn't staring at my rear bumper. So I certainly appreciated that, but definitely left him really vulnerable. And 43 got a great run, was able to get to the outside of us there, and pretty slippery in 3 and 4, and not quite able to stay together. And I feel like we still would have had the advantage if handling wasn't a factor. And I knew it was going to be super close at the line, and obviously it was. But then to have the poor guy go to the start finish line and celebrate and all that. So at the end of the day, it's kind of a swing of 1 point. It doesn't change his starting position, doesn't change mine, but certainly proud of the effort, happy I was able to race that one out and see what my car had for Sunday. This is a multi-stage process this whole weekend, and to be able to get a great read like we did tonight, and give us some stuff to chew on for the next 2 days to get ready to try and do it all again and execute on Sunday.
All right, we will start with Matt and then go to Justin and Zach.
Matt Weaver, Sportsnet. You guys have a lot more to lose than gain. I think obviously running up front, mixing it up, racing for the win in a duel. How much of that is, data acquisition? How much of that is just you being a competitor? And is a part of this also points? Is it just a little bit of all of that? What kind of goes into how aggressive you're willing to be to win a duel?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few aspects to it. One, I think the points were the only thing I could use to justify racing from my crew chief's perspective. From a strategy towards the season, the points definitely do matter for the season. And I feel like we were able to check a lot of our boxes early in the race. But I think there's a lot of trust involved too, and I'm very thankful that my race team trusts me to go out there and do that, because I left last night saying, hey, can I race? Because to your point, as a competitor, that's all I want to do, that's all I'm here to do, and someone's just going to have to tell me not to, which is totally fine, understand. And I felt like we were able to kind of do it all tonight. And you maybe look like a fool if things maybe don't work out, but there's some risk management involved. But I think in a lot of ways the pros outweighed the cons for me. It's easy for me to say, but having 2 days for the same group of guys to have to patch up a car or build another car, I have a lot of confidence in those guys. Like I said, easy for me to say, but not having to talk about that. So all in all, a lot learned for tonight and a lot gained, and certainly I had a lot of fun.
Let's go to Jacob and then Zach.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital, Austin, 2-4 you first. You're 500 win in 2022. You finished second in your dual race that year. Had a strong car tonight. Do you feel similarly confident to how you felt in 22 when you won on Sunday?
Can someone fact check me? Have I finished second in my dual every single year? Because it not the 33 car, but the last 3 years, every year the next gen car finished second in my dual, and that's the first thing I thought of when the checker came out.
Is so, that you were second again?
Yeah, I thought I was second again. Well, after they told me the 43, I thought it was going to be exceptionally close. Yeah. So, with that being said, I've had the same thought process every year of this is kind of has a mirror image or whatever, but I don't really believe in a whole lot of that. Look, this game's evolved a lot, and the field, the competitors, the drivers have continued to evolve a lot since that race. And obviously, I go through media day and get a lot of questions about that race. And I think as a competitor, if I came in with the skill sets that I had to win that race, I'd be barely participating on the race on Sunday. The game's changed a lot. I've some really strong competitors, and certainly have to respect that. And the execution, the ups and downs of a 500-mile race that you're going to have to go through, the changes in the racetrack, all those factors play at large. So certainly looking forward to it. But past success does not equal future success in this scenario. But the parallels are nice.
Well, to that end, it's very rare that you can get a teammate in a dual race or get it to work out that way. You had both your teammates land in the same duel with you and really worked well with both of them all the way through. How big is that potentially when it comes to now already knowing how you guys work together and how you can battle plan for the closing laps?
Well, the three of us, you know, spent a lot of time talking, and you know, I think Josh is kind of now included that in that equation with the three of us, and to be able to talk things out, whether if we agree or disagree, you know, there's a lot to talk over, and you know, with these races and understand, you know, how to work best, and I think being able to find each other on the racetrack, you know, this early in the weekend and have some things to talk about. And us to review and say, hey, what do you think about this? If we're in this scenario again, what would you do? Or what would you do if, you know, she was on the other foot? Those types of things. And we kind of have 48 hours to do that. I think that's only an advantage to us to be able to have those conversations.
Let's go to Zach and then Steven.
Zach Sterniel at NASCAR.com. Austin, is there anything the car on the inside can do from turn four to the start-finish line to avoid getting side drafted like that, where without losing the advantage?
Well, that's certainly a situational question. My answer would be it all depends on your help, and it all depends on handling. It depends on the cars that you're around. You know, I felt like at that stage in the race, I thought I had just as good a shot as any to make it to the line and beat the 43. Obviously, Joey slipped, you know, quite a bit, so I'm losing my help in that position. So, kind of advantage to the 43 car there. So, but I think it is very situational on when that works, when it doesn't, and that's what this racing is all about. It's analyzing those situations, look at the factors, and understand how you can control them best.
Stephen Toronto, CBS Sports. Austin, I wanted to follow up on what I asked you yesterday about being in position to win here in a Talladega last week and getting turned out of the lead or out of a position to win and it not working out. I know that the duels are small potatoes in the grand scheme of speed weeks in the Daytona 500, but do you think this is a case now of the law of averages that you talked about working out?
Yes and no. I still haven't won a actual race, so I still definitely do believe in the law of averages. Huge fan of that. But I think the safest person to have behind me is someone that I trust, and there are only three or four people that There are only three people that I can really truly say that I trust. You know, obviously we work with the Fords and all that, but when it comes to my teammates, those are the guys that I want behind me, and vice versa. You know, if Joey could pick one or two people out of the field to have behind him to win this race, you know, I think it'd be one of us, and obviously I'd want it to be somebody like Joey, because there is an element to taking care of the car in front of you, or an element to just driving through the car in front of you just to win the race. And I feel like I've been on the side of being driven through to win the race, and that is, you know, part of this. When the racing gets aggressive, everything's on the line, you know the story. So I think the best case scenario is to work well with your teammates and have one of them lined up or be the guy that can secure that for your teammate. You know, I think that's my best case scenario, and I felt like I had that for the majority of the entirety of that dual race with Joey.
And I know something like this, a finish like this, almost never happens. But is there anything in your racing career that has ever come close to this in terms of just being a completely bizarre way to win a race?
It wasn't exactly expected. I did go up to get the checkered flag, and the flagman was gone. So I didn't get the flag, which was a bummer, because I was going to give it to Brian for his birthday present. But I don't get to do that. So if anyone knows where the flag is, I'm staying in the Airstream in the DO lot right behind the care center. You can deliver it to me. I don't know what to say. It's weird. I guess from a due diligence standpoint, it's better to have it right than not right. I mean, the light was clearly on and we were clearly ahead. And I more just feel bad for Eric that he had to do the victory lap and all that. But nonetheless, it's definitely not something I've done before.
If I find the checker, I'll let you know. Thanks,
Appreciate
Austin.
That.
Yep.
Do we have any other questions for Austin? All right, well, congratulations and thanks for the time.
Cool. Thank you all.